Landscape of forested slopes. Hallmark Entertainment presents an Alpine Median production in association with Larry Levinson Productions. Straight from the heart. A pack of horses gallops through a sunny clearing of tall conifers, their hooves kicking up a haze of dust which hangs in the sunlight. The pack gallops out onto a grassy valley with a river winding through it. The horses, some white, others bay, some brown and white, pick their way down a shingly bank and across the river. Once across the river, the horses set off at a gallop again, their tails streaming out behind them. Two cowboys on horseback chase behind, urging the pack onwards. Conifer-clad slopes fringe the Golden Valley as the horses continue their journey. The cowboys wave coiled lassos in the air as they gallop along with the pack. The cowboys finally pull up their horses on a sunny ridge and watch the pack gallop off.
How long are we going to keep herding these Mustangs back into the valley?
Until they take it as home and stay put. I can get a rope around that stallion.
Apparently it's just a horse.
He's special.
Special trouble, that's what he is.
Jesse Sims, you are getting cranky in your old age. Or lazy.
Ain't got a lazy bone in my body, Tyler Ross.
Be cranky then.
A sunny New York cityscape. A nameplate on a building reads Roger Gallery, 1409 Park Avenue, New York. An attractive blonde enters the gallery where there's an exhibition of photographs.
Miss Donovan, Mr. Acosta is ready to see you now.
Based on the book by Pamela Wallace. Miss Donovan sits while Mr. Acosta studies photographs.
I think that these pictures will make people think about the environment, perhaps even the future of the planet.
Mr. Acosta puts the photos away and removes his spectacles.
Miss Donovan, do you love garbage?
I beg your pardon?
A great photographer actually reveals aspects of himself that he's unaware of. Did you see some truth about yourself in this garbage?
Miss Donovan arrives home.
Happy birthday, Jordan!
So, how'd it go at the gallery?
What does he know anyway?
He knows garbage when he sees it. Maybe I'm just fooling myself. I've been doing this forever. Maybe I should just give up and go back to Wall Street.
What? No. See, that's why you're going to make it, because you never give up.
Even when you should, like with Edward, who's kept you hanging forever.
Okay, you have to stop that because it's my birthday.
I'm just saying, you've been together for 5 years. You don't even live together. I mean, wake up and smell the decaf mocha latte.
Edward has territorial issues, right, Hubert?
He takes you for granted, and you don't give him any reason not to. It's like you got doormat tattooed on your forehead.
For your information, Miss Negative, I think that he's going to propose to me tonight, okay?
Really?
Yes.
Did he say something?
His exact words were, I want to talk about our relationship, so there.
Okay, well, you know, let's hope that he comes through. On with the celebration. Toast. Grab your glass. To my best friend.
Yes.
On the occasion of your official descent into spinsterhood.
Spinsterhood? That's so rude.
You're over 30, sweetie.
The cowboys.
Better answer. Could be someone trying to tell you you won the lottery.
Yeah. Tyler here.
Tyler Franklin, Ross, you went after that stupid horse again, didn't you?
Morning to you too, sis.
Listen, you've got another letter from Country Connection.
This one's from New York City, of all places.
Shame she's so far away. She sounds real nice.
Great.
Remember our deal?
Yeah, I remember, Lori. You just remember your end of it, all right? Goodbye.
In New York, Jordan, who has a fish called Hubert, unpacks a magazine.
Country Connections, the magazine for rural singles? What is this?
This is great, okay? It's mostly men, unlike New York, where straight single men are an endangered species, and they want to get married.
Have 10,000 acres of wheat looking for a marriage-minded gal who can keep house, cook, and drive a tractor. Must look good in jeans. Well, that's me.
There, read the ad I marked.
Wyoming cattleman, 35, been to college. Well, that's a good thing. Marriage and children inclined. I'm not perfect, and I'm not looking for someone who is Tyler Ross. And this concerns me how?
I answered his ad. In your name.
Carla!
You, this is good. He sent a plane ticket.
Carla, you know, of all the crazy, stupid, ridiculous, mean, insane, what did you say about me anyway?
I said that you're warm and you're funny and you're very sincere.
But I have a terrific guy.
You know what? He needs a nudge. Okay? A man never wants a woman more than when another man wants her, so I got you another man.
I'm not gonna use some poor schmuck of a cowboy to make Edward jealous. It's playing games, and I don't do that, Carla.
Look, just go out west, okay? Enjoy your trip. Take your camera. Maybe they got better garbage out there. Come in, Edward!
A dark-haired man carrying a bouquet of flowers enters the chic warehouse apartment.
Hi, sweetheart.
It's your birthday, girl.
Fine.
Edward puts down the flowers to take off his dark overcoat and then approaches Jordan.
Carla?
Edward, how are you? Okay, I'm gonna, let you two get on for a big celebration.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Thanks, baby.
I got something for you.
Yeah?
Yes. Very special gift.
Very special?
Very special.
Jordan looks at him all gooey-eyed and tearful as he presents her with a small box. Her smile fades when she looks inside the box.
I thought if we're going to be living in my apartment, you should have a key.
She dangles it on a key ring with a heart.
So you're asking me to
move in with me?
And
live together. I thought this would be the perfect time to take our relationship to the next level. This isn't just your birthday. This is the anniversary of the luckiest night of my life. The night we met.
Yeah. 5 years ago. 5 years ago. Well, I wonder where we're going to be in another 5 years.
We're going to be together.
Together single, together married.
Oh, Jordan.
This is a very real commitment that I'm making, asking you to move in with me.
Okay, Edward, it's just that when I imagined this moment, I expected you to say, will you be my wife, not roommate?
And this is a solid offer.
An offer. An offer, really. And how long is this offer good for? Until you find somebody better? Until you get bored? If something goes wrong between the two of us, who has to go out and find a new place, you or me?
Well, it is my apartment.
Exactly. Your home. Yours, not ours.
Hey, nobody can promise forever and be sure they're going to live up to it.
Really? You know what?
The magazine.
It's exactly what one of these guys is prepared to do. And he wants to meet me.
Edward grabs the magazine.
You expect me to believe that you want to meet him?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to play these games with you, Jordan. When you are ready to discuss this like a mature, rational person, then call me.
Jordan, alone, enters an airport arrivals area.
I can't believe I agreed to do this. How will I even recognize him?
He didn't say.
I can just imagine what Tyler Ross is going to look like. Overalls, a beer belly, and one of those funny cowboy hats.
A middle-aged guy with a beer belly and funny cowboy hat walks towards her with a bunch of flowers. Jordan's face falls. Then she looks relieved when he goes to a woman behind her. Raising her eyebrows, Jordan hurries on. Outside, Tyler pulls up in his pickup truck. A slender man with piercing blue eyes, he wears a suede bomber jacket, jeans and a baseball cap. He enters the airport and scans around. Jordan, whose blonde hair falls in feathered layers about her shoulders, heaves her case off a luggage carousel. All around her are cowboy types. Tyler spots her and goes over to her hesitantly. She wheels round when she hears her name.
Miss Donovan.
Tyler Ross.
I'll get your bag.
Okay. Thank you.
He picks her bags up and pushes past her. Jordan looks a little affronted, but follows him out.
Gotta admit, I feel really awkward. Guess you probably do too, huh?
Tyler carries on to the pickup.
I bet everyone who does this sort of thing feels the same way, right?
So... No.
I'll take that.
Thank you. We got a ways to go.
Looking miffed, Jordan takes her camera case from him and gets in the pickup, which has a Wyoming number plate. Tyler's muddy pickup rolls along a straight valley road in sunshine.
When do we get to town?
We're there.
It's just a few wooden buildings. They carry on past trees with autumn gold leaves, then past a lake bordered by conifers.
This country is breathtaking. Constable would have loved it. He was an English painter.
You don't say?
Yeah, late 18th, early 19th century. He painted...
landscapes.
Jordan looks taken aback.
A little dark for my taste.
Smoke rises from the chimney of a large, timber, chalet-style ranch set in a clearing of conifers. A lake is nearby. The pickup pulls up. Laurie and Jesse stand waiting on a sunny veranda.
It's gonna be just like a Danielle Steele novel.
Tyler reaches for Jordan's case.
That's okay, I'll get it. Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Smiling tightly, she takes the case. The others come down to meet them.
Jordan Donovan, it's my sister Laurie, and Jesse. Jesse, what are you doing here?
Just looking.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Ma'am?
Tyler, why is she carrying her own bag?
I offered, but she wanted to do it herself.
It's fine, I'm
listen,
fine.
I'll show you to the spare room, get about a half hour, and then we'll have some dinner.
Okay.
Jesse, I'll help you feed, huh?
Nice to meet you, Tyler.
Nice to meet you.
Jesse and Tyler stroll together.
Sure seem like a nice enough girl.
You say so.
So, you're a photographer? Yeah. Ever photograph weddings? No.
Oh. See, because I'm getting married in a few days, and the photographer that I hired has come down with the measles. Can you believe it at his age?
Well, it's just I may not be here that long.
I just got my wedding dress. You want to see it?
Sure.
Spare bedroom's over that way. Make yourself at home.
Okay.
Jordan glances up at a light fitting made from antlers. Outside is a vast expanse of conifers and the lake. In her cosy timber-walled bedroom, Jordan unpacks a crucifix on a chain, then turns and sees a painting. Laurie comes down a large timber staircase with her dress and enters Jordan's room.
That's an original Thomas Kincaid.
Yes, it is. So, I was going to go for something a little less formal, but then I saw this and, you know how it is.
Oh, it's lovely.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have much of a fashion sense. My idea of getting dressed up is putting on a clean pair of jeans.
Oh. I'm sure you'll be beautiful.
I'm dying to ask you, what do you think of Tyler?
You know, I can honestly say that I've never met anyone like him.
Later, round a large oval dining table.
So, is this your first trip out west, Miss Donovan?
Actually, it is, Chuck, and please call me Jordan.
Jordan.
Why'd you tell us all about New York?
You pass the salt. Thank you.
I'm sure it wouldn't be very interesting.
Oh, come on. All the museums and the restaurants.
Well, my favorite little place to hang out is a cafe called Le Côte Basque on 52nd Street. Jackie Onassis and her sister Lee used to speak French to each other when they ate dinner. It was very cool.
Ah.
Jordan's a photographer.
Oh. Chuck just had his picture taken at Sears last week, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I did.
I'm actually a fine arts photographer. I just had a meeting with one of the top galleries in New York to talk about having a show.
What kind of pictures do you take?
Refuse.
You mean garbage?
I'm sure they're real nice pictures.
I wouldn't exactly call them nice. No, significant, yes. There's a great deal of subtext to garbage.
I think.
New York art world must be a bunch of idiots.
Anyone want some pie?
Tyler shoots Jordan a disparaging look. Jordan glowers at him. Night in New York.
Hello?
Oh, thank God. Contact with sanity.
Jordan, hey!
Does Hubert miss me?
You gotta stop worrying about that fish, okay? Where are you?
His ranch out in the middle of nowhere. This is so much worse than I expected.
He's ugly. I knew it. You know, I should have realized that when he didn't have a picture with his ad.
Well, not exactly unattractive.
But I have no idea why he asked me to come. He clearly does not want me here.
You're not giving her a chance, Ty.
I said I'd meet her. I never said I'd like her.
Oh, how can you write her off so quickly? You don't know anything about her.
I know she likes dropping names of people she doesn't even know. I can see her fitting in here, huh, Chuck? Of course, you wouldn't have anyone to talk French to.
She's nervous, and your attitude isn't helping any. If you want a chance at something wonderful...
Wonderful. Trouble is more like it.
Jordan, I'm so sorry I got you into this. Why don't you just tell him that, I don't know, something came up, you gotta come back right away.
Oh, I'm thinking about it. It's just the other people that I met here, like his sister, are really nice.
I feel awful lying to them. Sweetie, it's so easy to lie. Just pretend you're me.
A silver moon rises over a rocky peak. Jordan comes out onto the veranda of the ranch, whose interior is large and comfortably furnished. She sees Tyler sitting on a bench by a campfire. His back is to her. She watches for a moment, and then, bracing herself, walks down the wide wooden steps. Smoke rises from the house chimney. Hands thrust into the pockets of her long cardigan, Jordan walks over the dusty ground towards Tyler.
Hi. Mind if I join you? Thanks.
He points with a mug to another bench nearby.
Wow, I've never seen so many stars in my life. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Just a lonesome coyote, no need to be afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Living in New York City make people so touchy?
Possibly, what's your excuse?
Just comes natural, I guess.
They share a smile.
Sure, there's a lot of things out here that I'm not used to.
You East Coasters are funny people. You think the world is flat. You go west of Philadelphia, you'll fall off the edge of it.
You know, has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong about some things? Possibly.
Nope.
No. No, of course not. Oh, you're just yanking my chain.
A little bit, yeah. Of course, there's no sport in it. You're too easy.
Really? So you got me all figured out? Huh. Well, lay it on me. Tell me exactly who you think I am. Seriously, go ahead.
You got somebody else's name plastered on the back of your jeans. You're probably one of those politically correct people. Never had a true thought of your own.
And your mind's as closed as a steel trap. Can't tolerate anything or anyone outside your narrow little world out here. Decided I was a shallow snob the second you laid eyes on me, huh?
About the same time you decided I was a dumb hick.
Well, I guess we know where we stand with each other, huh?
I guess so.
As far as me having Sony's name on my butt, didn't realize your last name was Wrangler.
Tyler watches Jordan sweep off. He narrows his eyes in thought and then smiles to himself. Sunlight sparkles on the lake. At breakfast, Jordan reaches for a serving of creamy goo and then decides against it. Laurie serves coffee.
You know, I'm just going to have some coffee and toast, I think.
We don't have any of that espresso or cappuccino around here.
We're vaccinating the cattle today. You can come along if you like.
Laurie.
Sounds fascinating. I'd love to.
You may have to ride a horse.
It's no problem. I can stay on a horse.
Laurie and Jordan share a look. A pickup pulls a cattle trailer over dusty ground between conifers. Laurie draws liquid out of a bottle into a large metal syringe and squirts some of it out. Jordan flinches at the size of the needle. Laurie injects a steer in a pen.
Let him go.
Jesse lets the steer out of the pen. Tyler watches on horseback.
All right, that's the last of them.
Got
Told you Jordan and Cat will get a little, gamey once you get up close and personal.
It's all right. Nothing's gamier than garbage.
Tyler twirls a lasso and ropes a steer.
Hey, Ty! Why don't you show Jordan some of your, rope tricks later on?
I don't think she'd be interested.
Sure she would! Come on!
It's okay, Laurie, really. You know, no one likes to perform on command.
Laurie drives off in her red pickup with the cattle trailer behind.
Have a nice ride! Bye!
Yeah, you didn't have to let Laurie talk you into this.
It's a long ride.
I can handle it.
You know how to bridle a horse?
Yeah, of course. Okay, okay, the horse is head shy.
Yeah, he's a little touchy.
You so did that on purpose. You wanted to see me make a fool of myself, didn't you?
Look, lady, you're the one acting like you know everything.
Well, you're having the best time at my expense, aren't you? Acted like a jerk from the second I got here. Well, I'll tell you what, I've had it. I'm on the first plane right back to New York.
Well, that's where you belong.
You're right, it is. Absolutely. At least I can get Chinese food delivered by taxi. People don't eat 50 pounds of cholesterol for breakfast. Okay, people are a little rude maybe sometimes, but at least they've got a good reason for it. You know, like they've got to shove through 500 people to get through the subway in the morning. But you, my friend. Hey, where are you going?
Tyler rides off. Jordan mounts her horse.
God, you kidding me. Hey!
Jordan gallops after Tyler across the dusty, parched grass and catches him up.
Ha! You slowed down?
Where'd you learn to horseback?
Grew up helping my dad at a boarding stable where he worked.
I thought you grew up in New York City.
Yeah, Haynesville. A little town upstate New York. I exercised the horses while the owners were away.
That ain't the city.
No, I didn't go to the city until I went to college. It was great going to a place I always dreamed of. It was like going to Oz, you know, a whole new world for me.
What was wrong with the world you came from?
Nothing, just looking for more.
Did you find it?
Of course.
Tyler studies her briefly from beneath the brim of his cowboy hat, then gallops off on his white stallion. Jordan follows on her bay as they streak through sunny, parched countryside bordered by rolling wooded slopes. A pack of wild horses runs by. Tyler and Jordan stop on a sunny ridge to watch the horses, whose hooves kick up clouds of dust. Tyler looks down to the valley below them and sees a collection of large horse trailers and a truck marked DLM.
Wild horse gather. Thin out the herds. We sold at a public sale.
You know those guys?
Hank Jameson, head of the Stockman's Association. These are DLM wranglers.
Department of Land Management.
They're supposed to manage open range. Today, they're managing my land.
So they're trespassing?
Yep.
Well...
A wild horse rears against a rope around its neck, which one of Jameson's men is holding at a distance. Jordan watches, then canters off after Tyler. She jogs up and down in her saddle as she rides.
Hey, could we slow down, please?
You might want to stop the up and down stuff. It'd be easier on your behind.
Why didn't you go down and confront those guys?
Well, it's a personal matter.
And they took those beautiful horses, you know?
I know where to find them.
Obviously meant to be free out here.
There's nothing more beautiful on this earth than a herd of Mustang moving across open land.
Why exactly do they thin the herds?
Well, they say it's to protect the open range, but the truth is a lot of ranchers don't want their cattle sharing grazing land.
What's gonna happen to them?
Nothing. If I have anything to say about it.
You stop riding away from me? Gosh!
Jordan rides after him. The two come out of trees into a sunny clearing where a horse lies dead. A foal grazes nearby.
Oh my God. What happened?
Wild horse management at work.
Tyler takes his lasso and gets off his horse. Jordan watches as he walks slowly and carefully towards the grazing bay foal.
Hello, baby. Hello, baby.
The mare lies with a gaping bloody wound in its shoulder.
Will he survive?
I'll take her back to the barn.
Tyler carefully puts his rope around the foal's neck. He gently leads the foal away from the mare. At the ranch...
I don't know about this.
Now, what most people don't understand is that goat milk is the universal donor.
He hands her a pot.
Do I look like someone who's ever milked a goat before?
Just pat the udder, start from the top like you're getting milk out of a balloon. You'll be fine.
He mischievously slaps Jordan's butt and walks to the foal. Jordan glares and stands helplessly.
She could starve without it.
Jordan tentatively pats the goat and squats.
Hi.
She puts the pot beneath the goat.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
The goat kicks. Jordan pats the goat's udder. The teats of the bloated furry udder point into the metal pot. Aware of Tyler watching, Jordan hesitantly squeezes a teat to no effect and grimaces.
Good girl.
The bulbous-eyed goat stands chewing as if bored. Cringing, Jordan squeezes and pulls on a teat and a thin jet of milk squirts out.
Oh! I got it! Oh!
The milk squirts into Jordan's eye.
Don't be too rough.
I can pretend.
Good.
Laurie and Jordan stroll among trees and bushes in sunlight.
Pete, with a long-legged, crooked grin, tumbleweed type of guy who could charm a bear out of honey and a girl out of her better judgment. He loved a rodeo. I loved him. Never met a hand of poker, a bottle of JD, or a shapely tail feather he didn't like. Any fool could see where that marriage was headed. We got a divorce along about the time Sarah died.
Sarah?
Tyler's wife. He didn't tell you? No, I guess he wouldn't.
Laurie sits on a nearby rock.
How did she die?
Tyler'd have a fit if he knew I was telling you this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to pry or anything.
Sarah wanted to be a mom and have Tyler's child more than anything in the world. But she was a high-risk pregnancy.
What happened?
She went into labor when she was 7 months along. And, it all went wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tyler must have been devastated.
Around here, men are taught to cowboy up. If it hurts, don't show it.
Guess I'm a little bit different than Sarah.
Oh. In some ways. But you're more alike than you think. You stand up to Tyler like Sarah did. He won't admit it, but he admires that.
You know, there's something that I really don't understand, Laurie. Tyler doesn't seem to want me here, so why did he ask me to come?
They stroll again.
I'm on a level with you, Jordan. Tyler didn't write that ad. I did. He was madder now when he found out about it.
Well, then why did he go along with it?
He was tired of me bugging him, trying to set him up, and we made a deal that if he met one woman, I'd quit trying to play matchmaker. I'm sorry, I hope you don't think we've got you here under false pretenses.
Oh, God, okay, I understand.
Attaching a horse box.
What exactly did you mean by wild horse management?
Bureaucracy at work. Wild horses put up for adoption. Truth is, they only take the younger, more desirable ones.
Leaving the older ones to fend for themselves?
Next hard winter would take them down. All right. I'll be back.
Well, I'm going with you to the sale.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Don't you ever do anything you're told.
Not since I was 12.
She gets in the pickup with him and puts on her baseball cap. Wild horse sale today. Jameson supervises the releasing of wild horses from a transporter. Jameson watches with a satisfied smile as the horses gallop into a metal-fenced enclosure. A cowboy on horseback shambles past, inspecting the Mustangs. Tyler and Jordan pull up at the sale, towing a horse box. The pair stroll through clouds of dust created by the movement of the horses and stand by an enclosure.
A lot of people here.
Yeah. Most of them are here to buy a pet. There are a few over there that like the idea of buying a horse for a few dollars and selling it to a slaughterhouse for 38 cents a pound.
They killed them?
Dog food. Either that or they end up as the daily lunch special in some fancy European restaurant.
That's disgusting. Is that legal?
Wait here, I gotta fill out some forms.
Tyler makes his way over to a table where an elderly guy in a cowboy hat is handing out papers.
Hello, Dave. I'll take that buckskin.
Looking up grimly from beneath the brim of his hat, Tyler spots Jameson talking with another guy. Jordan watches anxiously as Tyler strolls over to Jameson and fixes him with a sharp look.
You had no right to take those horses.
Those damn Mustangs are a nuisance. In fact, we're going to do another gathering in a couple of days.
Open range is just that. Those horses have a right to be there.
No, it's too bad you didn't show as much care for some people as you do for those horses.
Just stay off my land.
Are you accusing me of trespassing?
You were on my land, and you know it.
Jameson pulls Tyler back, but lets go when Tyler stares at him wild-eyed.
If you have a problem, take it up with the DLM.
Stubble-chinned Tyler strides off, passing Jordan, who watches Jameson.
Some people let those wild things take off.
At the ranch, Tyler lets the buckskin out of a horse box into an enclosure. Jesse's with him.
Another gather coming up.
What's left of the herd is getting easier to handle.
Let's set up a portable, hold them for a few days, huh?
Laurie's reading in the sitting room when Jordan enters.
Hey, Laurie.
Hey.
Listen, have you heard of a rancher named Jameson?
Yeah, why?
Well, he and Tyler had sort of a confrontation at the sale.
Hank Jameson and Tyler have never agreed about the Mustangs.
Well, it seemed to be about a little bit more than just horses.
Once upon a time, Hank was a good guy. Now he has a heart cold enough to hang meat.
Why, what happened?
He lost his only daughter. She was all he had.
What does that have to do with Tyler?
Hank blames Ty for her death. His daughter was Sarah.
Jordan and Jesse watch Tyler in the enclosure with the buckskin. He gently taps the ground behind it with a long switch to make it trot round him.
You see, in the wild, it's the dominant mare that actually runs the herd. The young horse gets uppity. She kicks him out for a while.
How does she let him know when his time out is over?
She stops staring him down and turns away. Then he knows he can get back in. That's what Tyler's doing. He's joining up. The way horse is doing well.
Tyler and the horse face each other. He gently raises his coiled lasso to its face, then turns his back and walks away. Tyler stops and waits. After a moment, the horse walks up and stands beside Tyler. Laurie comes out to join them as Jordan watches spellbound.
How's he doing?
Has still got the touch.
Can't believe he's letting Tyler touch him.
He knows Ty's no threat.
As Tyler gently strokes the horse's muzzle, Jordan hurries away excitedly. Jesse picks up a broad leather strap, which is slung over the metal fencing of the enclosure, and slowly approaches Tyler with it. Jordan comes back with her camera as Tyler slowly and carefully puts the strap over the horse's back.
Tyler's really good with the horses.
He's a lot better with horses than he is with people.
Tyler puts the bridle on the horse.
Oh, now. Easy boy.
That's the bareback rig. He's putting on so the horse will get used to having something on his back and around his belly.
When the horse doesn't move with the rig on, Tyler removes the rig and takes a blanket ready to throw over the horse's back. Jordan has her camera at the ready.
Here we go.
He puts the blanket over the horse's back.
Whoa, son. Easy now.
Jordan captures the rearing horse on film. When the horse is settled, Tyler and Jesse carefully put a full saddle on its back over the blanket which has been replaced. Jordan and Laurie watch keenly as Tyler gently lowers the stirrups, tightens the straps, and then carefully gets up into the saddle.
He does it by the numbers, slow and easy.
As the horse rears with Tyler on its back, Jordan snaps away, taking majestic and spectacular poses.
Well, I've had all the excitement I could take for one afternoon. I'm gonna go fix dinner.
Jordan watches intently as Tyler trots the now calm horse around the enclosure. Later, Jordan follows Tyler as he puts the saddle over a fence.
How'd you learn to do that?
I've seen a lot of horses get their spirits broken. I knew there had to be a better way.
Jordan takes a photo of Tyler.
Would you put that down, please?
She snaps as he turns towards her with a smile.
Why don't you like having your picture taken? Afraid I'm going to see what you're hiding?
Give me that.
Hey, what are you doing? Wait, please be careful.
I'm going to take your picture. What's the matter? Don't you like having your picture taken?
I guess I'm just not used to being on the other side of it.
Okay, smile.
Oh, my God.
Why'd you start taking pictures?
When I was a kid, my mom thought I was spending too much time alone. She thought the camera would be a good way to encourage me to get off my butt and do stuff.
You took to it right away?
Yeah, I guess. Camera's a good way to connect with the world. At the same time, it was like protection. Helped me deal with what was going on in my life at the time.
What was going on in your life at the time?
I guess I was having a hard time understanding why one day my father was taking me to the stables to help him out, and the next day he was gone.
Died?
No, he left.
Tyler lowers the camera.
I haven't seen him since.
Tyler approaches her with a serious and sympathetic expression.
Any man that don't stick around for his kid ain't worth his salt. If he didn't, there's something wrong with the man, not the kid. Why the hell do you want to take pictures of garbage?
It's the right kind of subject. It's dark and it's edgy and it'll get me noticed.
So you did it to impress other people?
No offense, but you really don't know how things work.
I understand you don't trust yourself.
I understand you need other people to validate your dreams. I could wear a fella down.
He stares into her eyes intensely and gives her the camera before walking away. Later, Laurie, Chuck and Tyler are in the sitting room while Jordan paces on the sunny veranda. Jordan joins them.
Laurie, Chuck, I've been doing some thinking and I'd be happy to do your wedding photos for you if you'd like.
Hey,
you
great.
You would. Oh, Jordan, I can't tell you how much that means to us.
But there's actually something that I should tell you. I'm not exactly a professional photographer. Never really had anything sold or bought, so.
Oh, but that doesn't matter. I'm sure you'll do a terrific job.
Great.
Jordan spots Tyler smiling wryly.
I better be going soon, hon. Got some stuff to finish up tonight to make up for missing work tomorrow.
The game. Oh, my goodness, I nearly forgot about it.
Game? What game?
It's the annual baseball game between the ranchers and the town folk. It's been going on for nearly 100 years. Bigger than the World Series for us.
No kidding. Sounds fun.
It is if we win.
At the game, a female pitcher in a blue and white team top falls as she runs with the ball. Tyler and the other guys on her team run to her.
Who's that?
That was Anita.
Come on, let's get you up.
I guess everyone here knows each other?
Just about. If you're going to do something you're ashamed of, you best be doing it out of town.
Well, I've lived in my apartment for 7 years. I think I only know one neighbor.
Easy.
Slicker's taking the field, and it's over.
Jesse jogs up to the stands.
We need you, Lori. I need to sprain her ankle.
I got a wedding coming up, Jesse. I plan on walking down the aisle with no crutches.
Yeah, but you know the rules. Gotta have at least one gal on the team.
You're barking up the wrong tree, Jesse.
Can anyone play?
Anybody who lives outside city limits.
I guess I qualify, huh?
The score's 4-4 in the final innings.
Chuck, you leading off. Pete, you're on deck.
Well, you know we have to have a woman playing on the team.
Oh, she's on the bench.
And she needs to play.
Play ball!
What's up?
She can't just sit on the bench. She's got to play.
Pete, you're on the bench. Jordan, you're on deck.
Oh, man.
She doesn't play, we forfeit, fellas.
Chuck, wearing his cowboy hat, steps up to the box. He takes the bat in both hands and stands waiting. A young spectator calls to the pitcher, who wears a red and white team top.
Go on, George, bring it faster.
Way to go, way to go.
Come on, sweetheart, back it out of the park!
Chuck does whack it, then sets off running. He passes first and second base, reaches third base and stops just as the fielder catches the ball. Jesse turns to Jordan.
Jordan, you're up.
She gets off the bench and Tyler hands her the bat.
Play to win.
I don't play to lose.
Okay, Jordan, bring me home.
Okay. Come on, Jordan, you can do it.
Come on, Jordan.
Hi, George, show us something.
Come on, show what you got.
The young pitcher, George, looks disdainful and tosses the ball weakly. Jordan lets it by. The next ball to Jordan is serious. Jordan whacks it and runs. Chuck makes home base to score the winning run. George, the pitcher, throws down his big glove. The score is 5-4 to Tyler's team, the Kickers, who are busy slapping hands and congratulating Jordan.
Remind me never to underestimate you again, Miss Donovan.
I will, Mr. Ross.
Wooded hills are silhouetted against a pink and grey sky. Jordan, camera slung across her chest, runs out into sunlight.
Here comes the slugger.
Morning, guys. Mind if I come with you, take pictures of the horses? I won't get in the way, I promise.
Jesse smiles.
Get your horse.
Jordan, Jesse and Tyler gallop across the shallow riverbed and the parched valley. They pull up their horses and look over at a pack of mustangs grazing near the river. Conifer-clad hills rise in the background. Jordan lifts her camera and snaps excitedly.
You know, the Indian thanked the white man for giving him horses. Because he said it made the landscape look so beautiful.
Driving back this way, you just stay on your horse and don't get hurt.
Tyler and Jesse head off down a dusty bank and back across the river. Jesse's hat falls off as he rides. Jordan takes photos as they round up the horses in a cloud of dust. Tyler and Jesse drive the Mustangs back across the river. Jordan, wearing her customary brown baseball cap, dismounts and begins to take photos on foot. She captures a brown and white horse in full flight, then waving away the dust, moves closer to the charging pack. She jumps to get out of the way of a galloping horse and falls. Tyler rides up.
And I told you to stay on your horse.
Sorry, just got caught up in it.
Get on your horse.
Jordan glowers as Tyler rides off, leaving her to struggle to her feet. The Mustangs streak along a dry, shingly section of riverbed. Back on her horse again, Jordan snaps away as the pack gallop into the temporary enclosure. Tyler rides up, gets off his horse, and hitches it to the fence before closing the enclosure gate. Jesse and Jordan remain mounted. Jameson appears on horseback and spies from the cover of forest.
I let him loose when the gather's done.
Tyler studies a hatless Jesse.
Your head cold?
I'll get my hat and meet you back at the barn.
Tyler chortles as Jesse goes. Jameson watches grimly from the trees. As soon as Tyler and Jordan have gone, he opens the enclosure gate and yells to his men.
Dwight! You run these horses as far off Frost Land as daylight will take.
Back at the ranch, the barn, Tyler's unsaddled his horse. He removes its bridle and releases the horse into an enclosure. Jordan's rewinding the film in her camera.
No picture is worth risking your life over.
Really cares about me, Jesse?
No, I just don't want some big city lawyer hanging me with a wrongful death suit.
Jesse leads his horse into the enclosure.
Listen, I'm sorry that I screwed up, okay?
I know.
A huge ute pulls into a shady car park outside a white wooden church. Wedding guests, some carrying pots of flowers, walk towards the church. Laurie, dressed in a grey-blue shirt and with her short veil flowing behind her, enters the church, where Jordan is setting up her camera on a tripod.
I just want to check on the flowers. Peggy, Marie, thank you so much. They look beautiful.
This whole church is gorgeous.
Yeah. I always wanted to get married here. Pete insisted we run off to Reno. He lost all our money the first night. We had to come back the next day.
Were Tyler and Sarah married here?
Yeah. It was a beautiful ceremony. Tyler and I were baptized here. The funeral for Sarah and the baby was here. A lot of bittersweet memories in this old church.
Well, today there will only be happy ones. I'll get the pictures printed up in New York when I get back, and you'll have them within the week, okay?
Guess you're looking forward to going back.
You know, Laurie, I know that you would hope that Tyler and I would have hit it off, but I think that everyone has kind of an idea of who they want to be with, and I just don't think that Tyler and I are that for each other.
You know, sometimes the right person doesn't always come in the right package. Look at Chuck. He's so quiet, most women wouldn't even give him a second look. I almost made the same mistake.
Yeah, what changed your mind?
He said that he knew I was pining for Pete, and that didn't bother him. After all, I wasn't the first person he loved either. But he wanted me to be the last.
Oh, that's sweet.
He also said that if I couldn't put my past behind me, I couldn't have a future with him. And I nearly lost him, just trying to hang on to something I couldn't have. I was hoping Tyler would come to realize that. Oh, my goodness, look at me. I've got a wedding to get ready for.
Later, outside the church, the bride and groom cut their three-tiered wedding cake. Jordan takes photos while they sample the creamy-looking sponge. Tyler stands with a sexy-looking redhead with long, curly hair.
Well done.
All right. You ready for this?
All right. Don't you give me too big a piece.
Jordan snaps away while the couple feed each other cake and then kiss. Tyler, next to the redhead, applauds and looks uneasy. Laurie, in a pretty Edwardian-style dress with lacy short sleeves, poses for more photos with Chuck. A bearded guest swigs from a bottle of beer.
Honey, let's dance.
Okay, I'll be right there.
An elderly DJ in a cowboy hat looks on as the guests begin to dance. Laurie goes over to Tyler.
Here, there's somebody I want you to meet.
It's an old lady in a wheelchair.
Mrs. Simpson, this is my brother, Tyler.
How do you do, ma'am?
Mrs. Simpson is Chuck's great aunt.
Oh.
He tells me that you have a visitor from New York City. My mother came from there.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she came out on a train in 1910. She was a mail order bride, you see.
I see.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Jordan. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Well, did you get enough photos?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful setting, beautiful church.
Excuse me, ma'am. Would you dance with me?
I'd love to. Excuse me, Jesse.
Flashing a mischievous smile at Jesse, Jordan goes off with the spotty young George. Tyler leans against a tree and watches Jordan as she steps lightly into the dancing. Wearing black stiletto mules and a knee-length little black number with lacy long sleeves, Jordan begins dancing and laughing with George. Tyler's eyes are fixed on her. Chuck comes up to him.
Fine-looking lady.
May I cut in?
A balding bloke with specs dances with Jordan.
She might just fit in around here after all.
Chuck, wearing a bootlace tie and with his wavy hair slicked back, smiles as Tyler, in jacket and shirt, saunters over to the bald guy dancing with Jordan and muscles in. Jesse watches too. Jordan smiles shyly as Tyler takes her hand, draws her to him, and puts his other hand on her back. They dance gently, gazing intently into each other's eyes.
Come on, let's go, dear.
I'm with you.
Laurie and Chuck join the dancers. Tyler and Jordan are slow dancing cheek to cheek. Her eyes are closed, his are lowered. Tyler does a slight and awkward bow and heads away from Jordan. Tyler sits alone in the church. He looks pensive and sad. Jordan enters gingerly and walks up the short aisle towards him. She sits in a front pew opposite him and smiles tentatively.
Got some great pictures of Chuck and Laurie. Marriage starting here must truly be blessed.
He closes his eyes.
I'm sorry, Tyler.
What for?
I heard about your wife and baby.
Tyler's blue eyes look sad as he ponders.
Yeah. My daughter was in an incubator. She was so small. She used to wrap her little hand around my finger. I made every deal with God that I could think of. I couldn't save her any more than I could save Sarah. I just told you that.
Jordan smiles tenderly.
Jordan, I'm about ready to throw the bouquet. You want to come?
Okay.
Looking disappointed, Jordan glances at Tyler, who smiles uneasily and lowers his eyes. Jordan heads out, turning to glance at Tyler, who remains looking pensive in the pew. Jordan takes photos of the duckboard buildings in the tiny local town. She suddenly sees Jameson coming out of the post office. He goes to his four-wheel drive and talks to another guy standing beside it.
Yeah,
Jameson is about to get into his car when he notices Jordan taking pictures. Wisps of breath float from his mouth as he strides across the sunny road to her.
What are you doing here, lady?
Just taking some photos of the local color.
Am I supposed to be part of that local color?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're with Ross at the sale barn in the ballgame.
Mr. Jameson, I'm sorry about your daughter, but you know what? You're not the only one in pain.
Who the hell do you think you are even talking about my little girl?
You gotta stop punishing Tyler for her death because it wasn't his fault.
He didn't stop her. He didn't give a damn about Sarah.
He loved her, and she loved him so much that she took a terrible risk. Can you understand that kind of love?
Jameson's mouth tightens and he shoots Jordan a reproachful look before turning away and stomping back to his car. Back at the ranch, Tyler feeds the rescued foal in a stable. Jordan enters and stands beside him.
I thought she needed milk.
Milk? This horse doesn't drink milk. She's lucky we found her when we did, though.
Lucky, that'd be a great name for her.
Tyler sees Jordan shiver and gently puts a horse blanket around her.
Yeah, there's nothing better at keeping out the cold.
Thank you.
They gaze at each other.
You're welcome. You know, when the Shoshone were in these parts, that little filly there would have made a nice bride price.
Bride price? What's a bride price?
When a fella was courting a woman, he would take a horse to her teepee, and if she accepted the horse, then they were engaged.
What if she said no?
Well, at least he got to keep his horse.
Any other interesting traditions?
Yeah, there's there's the blanket wrap.
The blanket wrap?
Yeah. That was when, a brave would approach a woman that he fancied, and if she liked him, then she would open the blanket. And he'd invite him in. Just wrap it around.
Jordan opens the blanket. Stubble chin Tyler moves in slowly towards her lips. Jordan closes her eyes and raises her lips in anticipation. Their mouths are only centimeters apart.
I can't do this.
Tyler hurries outside and leans on the railing of the horse enclosure. He takes off his cowboy hat and runs his fingers through his thick hair.
Tyler.
Listen. Jordan, you were brought out here under false pretenses. Saying I wanted to get married, the truth is I didn't want to have anything to do with you.
I know, Lori told me.
I'm sorry, Jordan.
It's okay.
I just didn't expect this.
Neither did I. A week ago, I thought I wanted to marry Edward.
Edward? That's your boyfriend?
Yeah. Been dating him for a long time, but he can't make a commitment, so my best friend Carla answered your ad in my name. She thought it would make Edward jealous.
Did it?
I don't know. I don't care. I think we should talk about Sarah. I know it's hard, Tyler, but I think we should talk about her.
No. We shouldn't.
What happened to Sarah is not your fault.
Tyler fights back tears. He shoots Jordan a harsh look and pushes past her. The lake. Jordan comes out of the ranch house. Laurie's beside a campfire with Tyler and Jesse nearby.
I'm sure the horses are just fine.
Jesse to Jordan.
Morning.
Look, I just need to look for myself, all right?
I'm going with you.
Ah, Jordan.
I just want to help.
Tyler leads his horse away.
Jordan, I don't think it's a good idea.
I'm going with him whether he likes it or not.
Laurie chucks her coffee on the campfire. Tyler, Jesse and Jordan gallop through a sunny clearing ablaze with leaves of rich red and gold. Beyond are conifer-covered hills. They arrive at the temporary enclosure for the Mustangs. The gate is wide open and the enclosure empty.
Horses didn't force the gate. Somebody opened it.
Jameson. Find him.
Crossing the shallow riverbed, the three of them stop in the shade of trees and look down at the Mustangs grazing further along the river. Tyler's eyes narrow, and he gives a wry, determined smile as he glances at Jordan.
All right. I'll get out front of them. They should follow the stallion. You push him. Jordan, you stay clear. We're going to move fast.
The Mustangs stir slightly as Tyler and Jesse ride out of cover and towards them. Jordan spots a DLM Jeep in the distance and looks alarmed. She glances at Jesse and Tyler, who are near the Mustangs, and then back at the approaching car. Four DLM officers on horseback ride behind it. Jordan canters down to block the car's path with her horse, and irate Jameson stands up in the passenger seat as the open-top car pulls up.
Are you crazy? Get out of the damn way! All right, drive through it. The woman, you're going to get yourself and the animal hurt. You're impeding the duties of a federal officer. Now, I ain't going to tell you again. Get out of the damn way.
Tyler glances at the scene.
Better get out of the way.
She doesn't budge.
Well, come on. Get after those horses before they get back on Ross land.
The officers don't respond. Tyler and Jesse drive the Mustang pack. Jordan takes photos of Jameson and his men.
Smile for the camera. Bet the governor would just love copies of these, along with the full story of your version of open range management, Mr. Jameson. You have a good day, boys.
She rides off with a smug smile. Stunned, Jameson turns to his men.
Get them out of here.
An officer shakes his head. Jameson slaps his cowboy hat against the car. The Mustangs streak across the countryside as Tyler and Jesse ride behind them. Jordan chases after them. The wild horses enter the temporary enclosure as Tyler and Jesse arrive. Tyler leaps off his horse and closes the gate.
Well, ain't nobody chasing us. She must have stopped them.
Jordan rides up, grinning broadly.
What the hell do you think you were doing?
Helping?
You've helped enough. Why don't you go home to New York?
Jordan's face falls as Tyler turns away to unhitch his horse. Jesse looks downcast at Jordan, who rides off. Tyler gets on his horse. His eyes glisten with tears.
She could have gotten hurt, Jesse. Or worse.
Jordan gallops across the river. The ranch house stands beneath bright blue sky. Jordan canters through woodland to the house and stops outside it. Still mounted, she looks up and sees Edward walk out onto the wide veranda. She looks unpleasantly surprised. Chuck and Laurie stand in the background.
How'd you find me?
I know I have no right to be here.
No, you don't.
Well, I want to change that. Jordan.
She dismounts, and he heads down the veranda steps to her.
I was afraid of making another mistake. But now I'm more afraid of losing you.
Jordan stands awkwardly. Edward, an attractive guy with a chiselled jaw, reaches into his inside jacket pocket and takes out a small box. He offers it to Jordan with a hopeful smile. She takes it. Chuck and Laurie watch tensely from the large French windows on the veranda.
I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Looking moved but uncertain, Jordan opens the box. Inside is a diamond ring. She looks troubled. Edward gazes at her anxiously.
It's not too late, is it? I mean, you and the cowboy aren't,
No, we're not.
She smiles at Edward.
Good. Will you marry me?
Smiling feebly, she nods hesitantly.
Yes.
Biting back tears, Jordan nods again and smiles. Edward takes her in his arms and hugs her. Tyler sits on a rock overlooking the parched valley, which is flanked by wooded slopes. He runs his hands through his hair in seemingly troubled thought. Eventually, he puts on his cowboy hat and pulls the brim down low. Tyler rides up to the ranch house.
Laurie?
Jordan's gone. That guy, Edward, came to get her. It's not too late. You could still catch her.
Why would I want to do that?
Because you love her.
Yeah, well, she'd never fit in here.
That is not the problem, and you know it. She made you feel again, and you don't want to.
Laurie stamps up the veranda steps. Edward's at a party in Jordan and Carla's apartment.
Brenda is a very, very talented photographer. She's got her own dark room. She's got the whole works, right?
If you'll excuse me for a second, it's nice to meet you.
Jordan goes over to Carla, who's resting against a pillar.
How you doing? Oh, great. Great. This is the stiffest looking bunch I have ever seen outside of a funeral parlor. Just Edward's family from Connecticut and a few of his colleagues from the law firm, you know.
Yeah.
And you want to spend the rest of your life around them?
Package deal, what can I say?
You don't seem too thrilled, Jordan.
Of course I am, I'm fine.
Jordan, you really want to go through with this?
Wait a minute, Carly, you're the one that set up this whole mail order bride thing in the first place to get Edward jealous enough to propose to me, so what's your deal?
I didn't do it to get you two together. I did it to give you a chance to see things differently so that you'd realize you don't have to drag somebody kicking and screaming down the aisle. You deserve better, Jordan.
Edward and I are perfect for each other. We have the same interests. We even vote the same way.
Sweetie, do you really love him?
I'm marrying him, Carla.
Jordan, honey.
She goes to join Edward and two stuffy-looking suited guys.
I want you to meet these people.
Oh, great. I'm thrilled.
A campfire within a circle of rocks burns brightly in the night. Tyler, wearing a baseball cap and a frown, sits poking the fire with a long stick. The lights from the ranch house shine out behind him. A newly developed wedding photo of Chuck and Laurie kissing hangs in Jordan's darkroom. Jordan uses tongs to transfer another print to a tray of fixer. She studies the image that forms of galloping horses, then, after a moment's consideration, turns to a nearby phone. In Roger's gallery, Costa looks through the photographs from Jordan's visit to Wyoming. Standing with her arms folded, Jordan waits while mustachioed Costa, who wears a cravat, seems engrossed.
They're good. Good enough for your own show.
You're kidding, right?
Jordan arrives home.
Hey!
Oh, hey! I was just leaving you a note.
How do I look? Like a million bucks, all green and taste.
I know! Going out on a date, can't be late. Going to the surf. Jealous? Ha ha. Message from Edward on the machine. Have fun, sweetie. Bye.
I'll just tell you about the show that Costa gave me. Later. Okay.
Jordan looks fed up. At the ranch house, a disheveled Tyler sits at a kitchen island making himself a sandwich. Tossing a slice of bread over the filling, he suddenly seems to lose interest and buries his head in his hand. Jordan, at home, sits at a low coffee table picking at a Chinese takeaway with chopsticks. She watches Hubert the Guppy in his flat-sided goldfish bowl, which is also on the coffee table. Tyler comes out onto the ranch house veranda and looks up at the night sky as he strolls along despondently. Jordan lies with her legs stretched out on a sofa. A magazine is in her lap, but she stares into space. Finally, she puts the magazine aside and gets up. On his veranda, Tyler sighs and stands looking up at the half moon. A shooting star speeds past. Jordan looks out of her apartment at the half moon. A shooting star darts across. Tyler is still on his veranda looking up at the moon. In her dark room, Jordan develops a photo of a rugged, smiling Tyler in his cowboy hat. She studies the photo wistfully. Tyler and Jesse ride up to a large pen full of cattle. The men dismount in a cloud of dust created by the animals. Tyler removes the saddle and blanket from his horse, which whinnies as mustangs gallop past nearby.
He's where he wants to be, Tyler.
Is he?
Tyler removes the horse's bridle and bit and lets the horse ride off to join the pack in the sunshine. Both men watch intensely as the animal heads off. In Jordan's apartment, Edward paces.
What do you mean you don't want to get married?
Edward, you're an amazing, amazing man, and any woman would be lucky to be with you, but...
What?
I've been very unfair to you. I wanted you to prove your love to me by marrying me. But Edward, if you truly loved me, you wouldn't have to be pressured or tricked into marriage. You can't force someone to do what you want them to do. It just doesn't work. You have to come willingly to that person.
Jordan, we can have the most amazing life together.
I already know what it's going to be like, Edward. Separate last names, separate bank accounts, spending most of our time apart. Being married is not going to change the way things are. And I'll always be waiting for that moment. When you discover that being married was never what you wanted.
As they sit together at a glass-topped table with bold modern pictures on a wall behind, Jordan slowly removes the diamond engagement ring from her finger and offers it back to Edward. He hesitates, then takes it.
Well, I guess there's no change in your mind then, is there?
Jordan shakes her head. He puts the ring in his shirt pocket and gets up dejectedly.
This isn't about that cowboy, is it?
I'll never see him again.
It's his loss.
Thanks.
Jordan smiles gently. Edward takes his suit jacket and looks sadly at Jordan before turning away and leaving. She sits solemnly. Dust from the cattle's hooves is suspended in the Wyoming sunlight. Hands on hips, Tyler still stands staring after his horse, then turns away.
Let's go.
I'm in no hurry. We could wait a little bit longer.
What's the point?
Tyler's horse gallops back up to him, stops, and rears. Jesse smiles contentedly, even Tyler smiles, and approaches the horse slowly. The horse rears again as if pleased to see Tyler. He pats it on the neck. Jesse wears an even wider smile. Jordan sits at home studying the photos she took of Tyler, then rests her head forlornly against her hand. At the ranch house, Laurie studies photos as she runs up the veranda steps. Laurie enters the sitting room and sits on the sofa. She takes an invitation to Jordan's Wild Horses exhibition out of an envelope and studies it, then reaches for a black book and a phone.
Hello?
Jordan? It's Laurie Carter.
Hey, Laurie, how are you? Did you get the pictures?
Oh, my gosh, they are so wonderful. I can't wait to show them to Chuck. It was so nice of you to do this.
Oh, it was my pleasure entirely. Did you get the invitation, too?
I sure did. Looks like a big deal.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty excited about it. So, how's everyone?
Oh, we're okay. Everyone misses you.
Yeah, I miss everyone, too.
How's your fiancé? Edward.
Hey, Todd?
Yeah?
I got the wedding photos from Jordan.
Oh, good.
They look great.
All right, I'll look at them later, huh?
Oh, hell.
Laurie climbs over the fence into the enclosure where Tyler's doing dressage on his horse.
Jen, Mary, and Edward.
Tyler shoots her a look.
Well, I guess that making him jealous thing didn't work, huh?
Lord, she dumped him. Now, why do you suppose she did that?
Don't know and I don't care.
You are dumber than a rock.
I know you think loving Jordan is a betrayal of Sarah. I know how much you loved her. But Sarah wouldn't want you to be miserable your whole life. She wouldn't want you to be alone.
He absorbs her words and blinks back tears. Dappled sunlight falls on a leaf-strewn track, which leads through a cemetery. Tyler walks down the track and stands before two small gravestones. He removes his hat and crouches down. On one stone is engraved, Sarah Lynn Ross, beloved wife and daughter. Beside it, a smaller stone is engraved with Baby Ross. As Tyler lays a pink carnation against each stone, Jameson appears behind him, carrying a pot of flowers. Tyler doesn't turn around when he speaks.
There'll be another gathering next week. I won't be taking part in it. And I'll see to it they stay off your land.
Why?
Been thinking. Maybe I've been wrong about them wild horses. Could be. Been wrong about some other things, too.
Tyler rises and turns to him slowly. Putting on his hat, he stares at Jameson, who nods to him contritely. Still gazing at Jameson, Tyler pulls the brim of his hat down low, then walks away. Jameson removes his hat and kneels by the graves. Tyler turns and watches as Jameson puts his colourful pot of flowers between the two gravestones. He then reaches for one of the carnations Tyler has put down. After a moment's hesitation, he puts it and the other flower in his pot. As Jameson studies the graves, sobs well up and he begins to weep. Tyler continues to watch the kneeling Jameson from a distance. In a ranch house bedroom, Tyler looks through an album of photos of him and Sarah. He smiles at their wedding photos and then flinches at a photo of a pregnant Sarah. He frowns and turns the page to more photos of him and pretty Sarah, who has long, curly, dark hair. She's at varying stages of her pregnancy. One photo shows her alone, hands placed on her distended belly. She wears a huge grin. Tyler looks sad and reflective. He closes the album and goes to open a chest at the bottom of a bed. Inside the chest is a pretty wedding dress with a front panel of lace and pearls. Tyler gently touches the dress, then lays the album in the chest and closes it. Costa lectures visitors to Jordan's exhibition.
As long as people and horses have been around, there's been this myth of man on horseback. It might be a great king, or a god, or a knight, or a warrior, or the timeless symbol of the West, a cowboy. Jordan Donovan has captured that powerful myth in her photographs.
Carla with a drink for Jordan.
Thank you. Well, Jordan, you're a big success. How does it feel?
Actually, I think I was more excited when I was taking these pictures than I am right now.
Out in the night, the silhouette of a cowboy appears on a brick wall. Two tramps giggle as Tyler walks along leading the foal on a rein.
He's got a horse.
A black and white photo of Tyler riding his horse as it rears.
Miss Donovan, congratulations. You're a big success.
Thank you.
Carla chinks her glass. Jordan turns on hearing the horse. Costa pushes the crowd back as Tyler, in cowboy hat and denims, enters the gallery tentatively with the foal. Tyler gazes at Jordan as he walks the foal slowly towards her. He stops in front of Jordan, who returns his gaze.
She'd do for a bride price.
He offers Jordan the reins. Looking tearful, she gulps hard and takes them. Tyler and she move in for a passionate kiss, with the black and white photo of Tyler on his rearing stallion in the background. Carla watches them and turns to a visitor.
I introduce them.
ITFC audio description by Helen Vasey.